Now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio. This is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
How you doing, Tucson? It's great to be here on a fabulous Sunday morning.
It is a fabulous Sunday morning, and we got a lot of stuff to get through. You know, there's so much stuff going on in Tucson right now, but something that's near and dear to my heart, next weekend...
Pizza?
No, not pizza. You know, I haven't eaten pizza in a long time.
I know, Fred. Hey, quit the yucking around. Let's get to business.
Okay, so something near and dear to my heart is model rockets. And the Southern Arizona Rocketry Association, also known as SARA, is having their Desert Heat. It's a two-day event. It includes a night launch, and that's next weekend, March 24th and 25th. And that's out in Marana.
Yeah, that'll be that's a lot of fun.
It's tons of fun.
Right, but you know, before we go on any further, I would just like to say... Welcome to the Fred and Jeff Show, where we talk about the fun things, the people, places, events, history in Tucson and Southern Arizona. And if you've got comments about our show, send them to us. We'd love to hear them. Send them to Fred at FredandJeff.com. We had a great comment given to us by a listener last week, and we've taken it to heart. And you'll see a little bit of a change in today's show. Less jocularity, more information. So
they'll be laughing at all times.
Right. But he was right to a certain point. We we tend to get off track every once in a while and goof around. Yeah, and
we get derailed so easily.
And the hour goes by so fast. So seriously, if you folks know of a way to make the show better, something that you'd enjoy more,
if you want to hear about something going on in Tucson, you know, the newspaper, the Arizona Daily Star, has a daily thing, or maybe it's a weekly thing, about the Tucson oddities. And people write in and say, hey, what is this thing all about? You know, send stuff to us. We'll tell you what things are about.
Well, absolutely. And you know, we've got all kinds of resources, too, that you have access to as well, like websites or blogs like Vanishing Tucson.
Oh, yeah.
If you've never heard of Vanishing Tucson, I highly suggest that you check it out. It's Vanishing Tucson is kind of a community post site.
It's on Yahoo. Group.
Yeah, on Yahoo. And it's a fabulous resource for pictures of what Tucson used to look like as it vanishes into something new. So, anyhow, back
as it
to
evolves.
You. It does. It does evolve.
The community evolves.
That's right.
So we're going to be out at the Desert Heat, I think. Were you taking Larry out there?
You know, we're going to try to go out to the Desert Heat.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
But have you been to one of these before, Fred?
Oh, yeah, they're great. Well, I took Larry, I think, last year to just a regular... once a month, they have a launch.
Now, who's they?
SARA, the Southern Arizona Rocketry Association. They have a monthly launch. If you go to their site, it's actually sararocketry.org, and it's S-A-R-A rocketry.org. They have a schedule of when they do these things. I think like in April, it's April 28th. In May, it's on the 20th. And they have a downloadable PDF of the whole schedule. But you can go out there if you're a member or if you're under 18, you get to fly for free. You know, if you're not a member, you just want to fly some rockets, then there's a minimal charge. But it's fun. We went out there last year with the Cub Scouts.
That's right.
Yeah, and it was really cool because all the Cub Scouts had built rockets from kits,
mm-hmm.
And some of them were really good, and some of them blew up on the launch pad.
but it's a learning experience.
It is a learning experience.
Yeah, the little propulsion engineers are figuring out how to do it. That's great.
Yeah, and there's so much stuff going on in Tucson, and we're going to be talking about a couple things today.
Well, and one of the things...
Go ahead.
And well, one of the things we want to remind you all, too, is even though you live here in the Southwest, in Southern Arizona... Check out the MTCVB website.
That's just where I was going.
Okay, and it's visittucson.org. Their website is fantastic. So if you're looking for a fun place to go, if you have friends coming in from out of town, things to see,
they have an
very
event.
Current events.
Yeah, they have an event calendar down on the left-hand side where it just says events. And actually, if you go to fredandjeff.com and you click on upcoming events, it goes right to the MTCVB site. And you can see what's going on in Tucson.
Yeah, I was reading the article on the MTCVB website in the Inside Tucson Business, and I think they said something like 4 million page views. So it's an amazing website. So check it out, folks.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, the schedule goes out for months and months and years and decades, and it's pretty cool.
Right. So we got to take our first quick break. We're going to come right back with our guests. We've got lots of guests on the show today. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Major League Soccer is coming to Keno Stadium February 22nd through March the 3rd. New England Revolution, Real Salt Lake, the New York Red Bulls, and Los Angeles Galaxy meet to play in the FC Tucson Thistler Diamond Cup. All four dates in this tournament are doubleheaders featuring stars like Kyle Beckerman, Tari Joseph, Landon Donovan, Thierry Henry, and David Beckham. Mark your calendars. It all starts Wednesday, February 22nd. Tickets are now on sale online at fctucson.com or call 520-334 1115.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Yes, welcome to the Fred Ronstadt Show, as you know, as what they think of the Daily Star, those rats.
You know, we should give a little shout-out to our buddy Matt Russell, who's done a radio show.
Good
he
point.
Actually, for all intents and purposes, got us involved in this radio gig. And he just went off the air. He's looking to do a new thing with On the Menu Live, but a little shout out to Matt. But in the Caliente section of the Arizona Daily Star, when they were talking about Matt going off the air, they said that, and there's this other show, Fred Ronstadt's show.
I think they called it another great local radio show.
Yeah.
Fred Ronstadt's The Fred and Jeff Show.
Yeah.
Who writes that? I'm going to take them out to lunch.
Hey, it's your buddy Humanick.
John Humanick. I love John, but he doesn't write the.
But he can take care of things for you.
That's true.
All right. So anyways, enough of us guffawing. We are here in studio with Big Heroes. Now, we have been talking about the zoo for the last couple of months because there's, like, exciting stuff going on. This actually started, I would say, almost 12 years ago with the passage of the zoo master plan back in 2001. And now we're finally seeing a big piece of it coming to fruition down at the Reed Park Zoo, and that is we now have a herd of elephants roaming around downtown, or the middle of Tucson.
Hey, before we introduce our fabulous guest, were you a city councilman in 2001, Fred?
I might have been, yeah.
So how did that work? How did that whole master plan get approved by the city council? Do you have any faint remembrances of how that process worked?
Yeah, I said something like, I moved that the master plan move forward. I got a second from somebody. We voted. I think it was 7-0.
Are you really the guy that made the motion?
Yes. I actually specifically requested to make the motion.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So in city council meetings, how does that happen? I know we're a non-political show, but something that takes 12 years to come to fruition.
Yeah.
How did they put that together, and how did it go from there to where we are now?
Well, actually, our guests could probably put a lot of light in this, but right. I'll tell you, the 10,000-foot look.
Please do.
It takes a lot of energy and effort from a lot of people in the community. It's not just the council, and actually, the act that I took was that was the end piece. I guess it was the end and the beginning. The end of that process of putting the plan together, then the beginning of putting that plan into motion. But, you know, there are people, zoo professionals, the zoo staff, the Zoological Society, community members, professionals from across the country, all had a hand in putting this thing together.
And since you were the only elephant on the council, you're the one that got to make the motion?
No, I actually took a point of privilege, I guess, you know, Robert's Rule of Order, that since our dad was a former director, anything having to do with the zoo, I tried to take a little bit of lead on.
Oh, very nice.
So,
nice.
But I did make the motion on the plan. We now have elephants, and in studio with us is Diana Whitman, who is the development director of the Tucson Zoological Society, and joining her is Zach Winfield, who is the membership and marketing director. Hey, guys, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning.
We are doing fantastic. Thank you.
All right, so tell us a little bit about the Zoological Society, because we've had Susan and Vivian on, and they are actually zoo staff. And we've talked about the society, but it's a wholly separate body from the zoo.
It's a whole separate body, and normally the way I try to explain it, which I think is easiest, is just to think of the society as the membership, fundraising, and special event arm of the Reed Park Zoo, because that's what we do. We totally support the zoo.
And what was the genesis of the Zoological Society? How long have you guys been around?
Ooh, that's one of those questions that, let's see, well, I've been around for, doesn't that count for something? We're talking at least 25 years, okay? But a couple years ago, the zoo celebrated their 45th anniversary. That was the zoo. And it depends on what body of folks you're talking about, because it started out probably, Fred, if you remember, was a small group of community members who got together and called themselves the Friends of the Reed Park Zoo. And that was really the beginning of the society.
And if I remember correctly, back when the zoo started, and I always make this joke about, you know, we had some goats, which is, and I'm being literally true. We
oh,
had
no.
some billy goats,
yes.
And there was a big mound
uh-huh.
of dirt for them to crawl around.
Uh-huh.
We had some alligators. We had a uh-huh. spitting camel.
Yes, a nasty. He was rather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a bunny farm.
There was bunnies. There were some turtles.
And some turtles.
There.
And, it was, you know, there was a major zoo back in the day. But when we started getting in the collection, when there were, you know, the big cats and the polar bears, the bears and such, and all the primates, they were essentially in, you know, for lack of a better term, I mean, they were like 12 by 12 chain link
they
fence
were.
Boxes.
Yes, they were.
And I remember back, it must have been the 70s, late 70s, when they had the Build the Cat House program, and that was like the Friends of the zoo.
Of the Reed Park. Uh-huh.
And because, you know, all this stuff goes back to the city really doesn't have a philanthropic kind of group.
Effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there had to be an outside group to come in
mm-hmm.
and help raise funds, and the community raised funds to build the exhibits that are, you know, those natural habitat exhibits that exist now at the zoo.
That's
for,
right.
For the cats and for the bears. And over time, I mean, the Zoological Society obviously grew and has become what it is today.
If it wasn't for Tucson being a truly philanthropic community, I don't think any of this would have happened. Of course, I have the luxury and the honor of working very closely with most of our donors, and it is a real honor. But before we go any further on that, I just want to say thank you to both of you, because you both have been instrumental in so far back. I mean, you all remember it way before Zach and I were there, and I know that you really pushed hard for us, Fred, and I just want to say thank you to both of you. I know that, Jeff, you've really you've worked hard with us for a long time, a lot longer than what we've been there, and we really appreciate the Ronstadt family and all the good work that you've done for us.
You know, we love doing this work, and it could not be successful without you and everyone else who participates, because, you know, we're pretty much a name, and we'll do a little bit of work, but
a lot of work,
but there's so many people in this community who have made this zoo and the Zoological Society such a success.
Well, and let's take a step back and thank you very much. That's very nice of you to say, even though I know you can't look at me because your microphone's the other way. But tell our listeners who don't know what the Zoological Society is and does. Tell them what you guys are up to.
I'm going to let Zach jump in on that one, since I've already kind of given my rendition of what that is.
Like, talk about the specific events, because you have lots of stuff all year long.
Well, wait, and start at the beginning. What do you guys do?
Those are kind of two separate questions. Yeah. The Zoological Society is a private, independent nonprofit that works to support the zoo. Like Diana said, we're pretty much the fundraising and membership and events organization for the zoo.
But you're not a city...
No.
Not city employees.
No, we are a public-private partnership. The zoo is city-owned and city-operated. In a lot of zoos in other places in the country, you'll find that they're 100% private, and so you won't have this kind of relationship. But here in Tucson, we have this this partnership between the city and the private society. And we are capable and well-situated to run these operations for the city. And like Diana was saying... mainly we're focused on fundraising. All of our events are fundraising events, and obviously development is a big part of what we do, and membership helps keep the door open. And
so give us an idea of your mission statement. If you've got your elevator pitch, your 30-second elevator pitch on what the Zoological Society is and what your mission is, what would that be?
Our mission is to support and advocate for the Reed Park Zoo in the community.
Okay.
As simple as that.
And that's a great mission. I mean, and by advocacy, you guys are out there raising money for projects at the zoo. You're out there talking to politicians to make sure that the projects that the zoo wants to do can be done. So you're kind of the advocates for the zoo. Where the city runs the zoo, you guys are the advocates for the zoo.
Right, exactly.
That's right.
And when you say public-private partnership, you're talking about the city and folks like Fred and I and you all who have a couple of extra dollars that want to support the zoo. And how can we do that?
Well, there are a lot of ways to get involved with the zoo. The way that most people are involved is through membership, and being a member of the zoo, you and your family would be able to come to the zoo for an entire year at no cost. It's a really good way to be involved at kind of an entry level, and then we have people who choose to participate on a higher level as donors to either our operating fund or to things like the capital campaign, and that's how we were able to open Expedition Tanzania.
Well, now let's talk about the membership, because I think that's probably one of the best values in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you have a family of four like we do, and you pay your annual Zoological Society membership.
And it's not that much. It's like less than $50.
It's just a little bit more than $50.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while. Just went out.
It's been a while since your friends had a family of four. So
it's $60 for the year for a family, and that covers two adults and any of the children living in the household.
The Brady Bunch.
Yeah, and it's, for the cost of basically taking your family out to a movie and some popcorn and some sodas, you can come to the zoo for free for a whole year. But
that's not all.
And there's also some reciprocity.
There is. That's true.
Right.
We have most zoos in the United States and Canada are members of the AZA. That's the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. And we have reciprocity agreements wherein when you're a member of one zoo, those other zoos at other locations will either admit you free to their zoo or at a very substantial discount. And it's, I believe the list is at over 160 locations right now. So it's really a tremendous value if you do any traveling.
Well, and that's not all. What about you guys? Yeah, because, the key is when you have zoo lights, which is the big Christmas program, what do Zoological Society members get with zoo lights?
They get free members' nights. So you can come to visit our zoo lights event for free with your family, and it's a great benefit to being a member. Members also get discounts and invitations to other events throughout the year. It's really a tremendous value. You can't beat it.
You really cannot. And folks, any of our listeners that are interested in getting a membership to the Zoological Society, and here's the cool thing. You get it for yourself. You can give them as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
They're fantastic. How do they go about signing up for a membership to the Zoological Society?
Well, they can call us at the office at 520-881-4753, or they can visit us online at tucsonzoo.org, or they can do it right at the front gate to the zoo.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it cannot be understated or overstated, I guess, that is a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal thing to do, because you guys are open, you're not open 365 days a year, but you're open...
363.
Yeah. 363, you're only closed for what, Christmas and...
Thanksgiving.
And Thanksgiving.
Right.
There's no reason that you're not going to get your money out of that.
No, absolutely not. Even if you visit the zoo more than twice a year, then you'd save money by being a member.
cool.
Yeah.
All right. So now let's go back to where that money goes. So if it's $60 and also all the memberships, the money you guys raise, what do you get to do with that money?
Money from membership goes pretty much into the operating fund, which helps keeps the doors open on the society. So that's where most of the membership fees go.
But then you guys also have, you've got your big ZooSon event.
Right.
So you've got events that you host at the zoo for members. Mm-hmm. And then the advocacy. And what I want to talk about today, and I think the most important part about our discussion today, is the importance that the Zoological Society plays in efforts like Expedition Tanzania. If it wasn't for groups, if it wasn't for your organization, this effort, we would not, you know, it would have been very hard to put this together without you guys. So, and it's not just Expedition Tanzania. Tell us about some of the other programs and projects you've worked on at the zoo.
You mean the events specifically?
Well, it's not. I mean, events. We could talk about events, but let's talk about.
Well, you have the South American exhibit.
South American exhibit was another fundraising campaign. If you walk into the front of the zoo, the first thing you're going to see is it's a prominent donor wall. And this was a campaign back in the 80s when Gene Reed was manager, and he started this campaign to get our sun bears at the zoo. So, you know, the fundraising efforts have been there ever since day one. It's just that there were very, very few people doing them. We're still a very small staff, but our efforts are a little more concentrated, if you will, in those, like Zach is totally membership. I'm doing fundraising. It's a very small group, but we have come a long way.
Very effective small
yes,
group.
Absolutely. I think so. Well, it's been because of the community support. That's why we've been as good as we have, right, Zach?
That's right. We have a tremendous base of goodwill here in Tucson.
That's right.
Now Expedition Tanzania. I'm going to start sounding like Elmer Fudd pretty soon.
Right. Doug. You have sounded like Elmer Fudd.
From the beginning.
Yes.
I know that. If I remember correctly, that was about a $6 million commitment that the Zoological Society took on. And it's opening up 1 week from now.
That's right. On Friday evening, we will have our first grand opening celebration for donors. Specifically for donors, the next night is some donors that couldn't make it on Friday night, docents, friends of the Reed Park Zoo, staff. So the two celebrations are going to be very, very similar in nature. But then the following week is going to be members only. And on March 28th, I believe it's the 28th of March, is going to be open to the public.
And those elephants are acclimating right now?
They are so acclimated. They are acclimated. It was astounding to see how quickly that happened. I don't think any of us expected that, but they are.
Really?
It was a big change for them, but they're all together. And
so there's the bull elephant.
We have bull, and we have two females
and a couple juveniles.
Yes, and the juveniles are males.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, folks that listen to our show regularly, you know, they may say today, you're like, you're talking about the zoo again? but it's, you know, it can't not be, we can't talk about how important this is for the city. I mean, this is a humongous thing for the city of Tucson to have all of these elephants here. So, all right, so we've got to take a break. It's the bottom of the hour. We got to take a break for the news. Folks, stick around. We'll be back.
Well, we have just a couple minutes. Let's pitch the Zoological Society one more time. If you guys want to talk about membership again, where do they go?
TucsonZoo.org.
TucsonZoo.org.
All right, we'll be right back after the bottom of the hour news break. So stick around. You're on the Fred and Jeff Show.
Puerto Rico are voting in the U.S. territory's presidential primary. 23 delegates at stake. While Mitt Romney is the delegate leader, Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich show no sign of getting out of the race. But GOP Chair Reince Priebus expects that to change.
I think that this process is going to play itself out. We will have a nominee, I think, fairly soon, 1-2 months away.
Priebus on Face the Nation on CBS. This coming Tuesday, Illinois holds its primary. Formal charges against Army Sergeant Robert Bales in last Sunday's murders of 16 civilians in Afghanistan could come as soon as tomorrow. The cherry blossoms are blooming early in the nation's capital, possible result of the mild winter, National Park Service spokeswoman Danielle Piacente.
They're light pink and they're spectacular, whether they're in full bloom or whether they're just starting.
The cherry trees were a gift from the mayor of Tokyo, the gift made 100 years ago this year. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Sunday morning to you. I'm meteorologist Aaron Brackett. A very powerful and complex weather system moving through. We'll get to the highlights right here. We'll see cloudy skies lasting throughout the day today. Temperatures actually falling this afternoon. And we'll have those rain showers off and on. Could be heavy at times tonight. Lows down to 36, if you can believe that. And some snow flurries are actually possible here in the city of Tucson. For 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM, I'm meteorologist Aaron Brackett.
Hi, this is Jeff Ronstadt. March is Write a Will Month. That means that you and your spouse should take some time to sit down and write a will. Most people don't have a will because they think, oh, you know, it won't happen to me. And then when it does, then the financial chaos that it brings about, it's horrible. So not only do you lose a loved one, but then instead of being able just to grieve the loss of that loved one, you're having to deal with financial ruin. So if you don't have life insurance, please get some life insurance. And if you don't have a will, write a will. And most people think that having a will is too expensive. It's not. There are community forums this month where folks will sit down and show you how to write a will. Go to the Ronstadt Insurance webpage and we'll direct you to those community events. But also, we're giving away a will this month to a family that doesn't have assets greater than $1 million. We will pay for them to get a will, all in the name of trying to put the word out of how important it is to get a will. So please take some time and write a will. Give us a call at Ronstadt Insurance, 721-4848, and we'll help you write a will.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that will exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Are you planning a special event or celebration? Call Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in southern Arizona.
Hi, this is Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. It's no wonder why the Tucson Festival of Books relies on Arizona Party Rental. They maintain high standards for all of their products and deliver five-star service.
Hi, this is Andy Brown, Vice President of A-Team Security and Event Services. I've been in the special event business now for 20 years, and nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental. They have the largest selection of equipment, friendliest staff, and they really care about making your event special.
My name is Rebecca Guthrie, and I would highly recommend Arizona Party Rental to anyone who needs anything that has to do with parties or events. They are very friendly and make you feel like family, and that your event is just as important to them as it is to you.
Hey, thanks. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Make Arizona Party Rental your celebration destination. Visit our new showroom on Speedway and check us out on Facebook.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my intrepid brother, Jeffrey.
Intrepid, yes. Now,
yeah, well, because we're going to take the expedition Tanzania.
Right. Well, and, you know, one of the things we forgot to talk about was the names of the elephants.
I thought they haven't been named yet.
No, they've been named, Fred. Ooh. So they left us this flyer here for the official magazine of the Reed Park Zoological Society, and right in the middle.
Well, maybe that'll be our trivia question for the Desert
I
Roses
think it will
from
be.
Mayfield Forest.
Yeah, Mabu, Samba,
Sunzu, Punga, and Lungili. It's pretty awesome. They should have put down how you pronounce these phonetically so I can actually pronounce them correctly. But that's very cool. These elephants are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
All right. And now, let's talk about blowing stuff up. I'm waiting for this all day.
All right. So we have two friends from the Tucson. I always say, I know there's this split between the skeet guys and the trap guys, or gals and guys. But it's the Tucson skeet and trap, or trap and skeet.
Trap and skeet.
Trap and skeet. Club here in Tucson, Arizona. It's a little unknown gem, except for the millions of people who go through it every year. And with us today are Rob Larson and Lenny Galata. Welcome, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, I've known about this because of Lenny. Lenny's been sort of like the biggest spokesperson, advocate for the club. Give us a little background on Trap and Skeet and the club here in Tucson.
Well, why don't we start at the beginning? Trap shooting, which many people are not familiar with, was started back in 1876, and trap shooting was developed because of the live bird shooting. People stopped wanting to shoot live birds, believe it or not, back in 1876. Fact is that they started shooting at targets of round glass balls until the regular clay target was developed later on. We've been trap shooting in the state of Arizona. We have records going back to 1905.
Wow.
That this sport has. We developed a club, and the club was incorporated as a nonprofit club in 1948, and it was called Tucson Trap and Skeet Club. People do confuse trap and skeet.
See, to me, it's you're shooting at clay pigeons, both of them. So there is a difference.
There is quite a difference. Skeet is shot from two houses, they call them, and they are crossing targets. Skeet was developed back in the 1930s for airplane fighter pilots to be able to follow the target when they were on the target of an enemy aircraft. So skeet was used to develop coordination for the pilot that flew these small fighter planes.
Well, now, wait a second. I don't mean to interrupt, but were these pilots flying when they threw the skeet out in front of them, or were they standing there just developing their...
They were stationary. Okay. Out of those two houses, the targets crossed, or the targets came from left to right.
So give us a sense, you know, when you... Because a lot of people, you're very familiar with houses and things, but sort of give us a geographic sense of, you know, someone is standing at a certain point and, you know, they look to the right and there's a house over there, they look to the left, there's a house. And these are sort of like just protected bunkers so that people throw in the clay pigeons, they'll get hit.
The clay pigeons are thrown by automatic machines.
Oh, okay.
And there is what they call a puller, which goes back to the time of bird shooting. A puller that used to pull a string, now press an electric button in order to release the target.
Hence, when they yell pull, and then the clay pigeons go flying, and that's when they go after them.
That's true.
Cool.
So the pilots that were in training were stationary, and they were following the targets at different angles and different heights. That's why they train the pilots in skeet. Let me get back to trap, though, because I'm not a skeet shooter.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I have to admit that.
Uh-oh, we got to separate you two then, right?
But the fact is, the club, like I say, was incorporated in 1948. We had property that was donated to the club, or to the club that would exist, from L.M. White Construction Company. There was some acreage on Pantano Wash, out on 22nd Street and the Pantano Wash, which he allowed us to use and donated the property to the club. And that was our start back in 1948. As time went on, encroachment came, and we had to move out of that area there. There was a lot of residential building and other encroachment. Schools started to come nearby, and we moved out to Old Ajo Way, out on the east side of town. On the west side, I should say. I'm sorry. That property we purchased off the BLM, and we had 80 acres of deeded land with the property we had sold on the Pantano for development. And we started
the Bureau of Land Management.
Pardon me?
BLM is the Bureau of Land Management.
That's who you bought it from.
L.M. White?
No. When you bought the property,
oh, BLM.
Yeah.
Yes, the Bureau of Land Management. We purchased 80 acres of deeded land there and started to develop the club there. And we've been there ever since. The club has been very successful over the years. We have expanded the club. The original founders of the club were businessmen in town here, and they wanted a place where they could recreate with shooting targets and shotguns and so forth. We did have skeet fields, and we did have trap fields even at the original club. But the fact of the matter is that as time went on, as I said, move was necessary. And our position now, after a recent expansion, has been tremendous. We service approximately 1,100 shooters at one shoot in particular,
wow,
in called the Spring Grand. There are with family and friends on the property. There's approximately 2,000 people on the property. We have hookups now, full hookups for motor homes with electric, sewer, and water. 210 of them, which are used for people that come into town with a motorhome and they're transient shooters that travel the country to shoot. We affiliated with the ATA, the Amateur Trap Shooting Association, which has 65,000 members nationwide. So we are able to tap that membership to come to Tucson because of the fine weather we have here in the winter. Our season starts around November. We have what's called the Autumn Grand American Shoot and runs on through March. And every other year, we have the state shoot here, the Arizona State Shoot here in Tucson. The club has been very, very active in community affairs. We have several programs for young shooters. We deal with the Boy Scouts. We deal with 4-H. We also have a Scholastic Clay Target program for young people ages from 9 years old to 18 years old. And the Scholastic Clay Target program is supported by the National Shooting Sports Foundation, Game and Fish also, and the club itself. So we have on hand right now in that program approximately 50 young people between the ages of 9 and 18.
Yeah, and Lenny, I think it you need to tell folks that it's co-ed. You got boys and girls out there shooting.
It's the only sport that I know of where boys and girls, men and women, compete against each other. We have no separation. We do have categories, but no separations between men and women as far as the sport is concerned.
And the categories are age-based.
Well, categories are age-based. Once you get to be of, my age.
Late 30s?
You have, no, at 65, we have what we call a veteran shooter. At over 70, we call them a senior vet. And those are the age categories. There is no age categories in the sport itself. They shoot by classes. We have class now, AAA, AA, A, B, C, and D.
And those are based on the proficiency of the shooter.
That's correct.
Because I know I went out to your facility about a year ago with a bunch of buddies, and there was a young lady there, and I think she was 16. She was unbelievable. I mean, we all waited till she left before we shot at anything because she was amazing. Talk about a bunch of, 35 to 45-year-old guys looking sheepish. She put on a show right in front of us. She was...
Well, when you talk about the reaction and the hand-eye coordination that young people have playing TV...
Sure. The video games, right?
Video games. And coming up against the reality of trap shooting or skeet shooting or whatever the sport may be, we also have sporting clays. The fact is that these young people are very well coordinated to enter a sport like this.
Right.
Now, I think we went on a little side rail here. You were talking about skeet, but then you tell us the difference between skeet and trap. We didn't hear the difference between skeet and trap.
Oh, trap shooting is done on with a one house where the target comes out of. That's a trap house. It's on an elliptical field. There is five people or a team shooting at the same time. They shoot five targets on each post, which is called their post, from one through five, and then they move up to the fifth man goes to the first post, and they continue to move around until the last man. They rotate until the last man shoots.
It's a lot of fun.
It's 25 awesome. Targets is a sub-event.
All right, so we have to take a quick break, the last one of the hour. We will be right back to finish our conversation with blowing stuff up here with these fellas, so stick around.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
Shelby, how does Five Star give back to its customers?
Existing monthly pest control customers who refer a friend to us receive a discount on their next service.
How about your current termite treatment customers?
When a customer's home is treated for termites, they refer a friend who has their home treated, they will receive an additional year of service on their termite contract.
Wow, that could add up to over $1,000 in savings.
Yes, it can. Log on to our website for details on our customer rewards program.
Five Star, the natural choice. 886-0045, 5starTermite.com.
When Jeff and I are looking for a good cigar, we head over to Anthony's Cigar Emporium.
That's right, Fred. They have a great selection, knowledgeable staff, a comfortable environment. It's the perfect place to buy a cigar for any time.
Three convenient locations, one at Oracle and McGee, one at Crossroads Festival at Swan and Grant, and their new location at Williams Center at Craycroft and Broadway.
Come on over to Anthony's Cigar Emporium, get your cigar, and you might even run into Fred and I, and you can tell us why you love Tucson.
Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ross, and I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Stick him up, partner.
You need a shotgun for that.
How do you know I wasn't holding one?
Well, because I can see from across the table.
All right, get on
with
it.
We're here with Rob Larson and Lenny Galata from the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club. And we've been talking to Lenny about the history of the club here in Tucson and the difference between skeet and trap. And with us now is Rob Larson, who is a skeet shooter. And he's also the Olympic training chairman for Tucson Trap and Skeet. And I think you have a whole bunch of other titles as well.
Yes, I do. I am also the director of the USA Shooting Certified Training Center and a coach for future Olympians. My job is to coach these young people up to send them to the national team. And also I'm one of the Scholastic Clay Target Program's coaches, and I coach youth shooters from age 9 to 18.
Well, I'm really curious about the Olympics. Does Tucson have a big Olympic shooting community?
Tucson has a huge Olympic shooting community. We are the second largest in the country.
Really?
Except for the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs.
How did that happen?
About 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I was asked to hold Arizona State Junior Olympic Ski Championships. And so I hosted that match, and it grew from there. We had a huge turnout. We sent over 20 competitors to nationals, and made waves in the Olympic community.
Now, these are 20 competitors that had to, they just had to fill out a form and go, or did they have to qualify?
Oh no, they have a minimum qualifying score. They have to break 105 targets before they're even invited to the national competition.
That's fabulous.
105 out of 125.
Oh, that's not easy.
No, it's really not easy at all.
Now, what's your background? How did you get involved in this?
I've been shooting clay targets for about 30 years, and I was asked to, once I moved to Tucson, I was Boy Scout Master, and I was asked to be a shotgun merit badge instructor. And because I spent so much time out of the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club, I was asked to start working with the youth out there at the fledgling Scholastic Clay Target Program. And we grew it from there. We grew it from nine kids in our first year to anywhere from 50 to 75, depends on the year.
And how long does a class take? I mean, is it series of weekends? Is it a year? I mean, is it...
It's Scholastic Clay Target. Actually, we start our season in September, and we compete all the way through the 1st of May. 1st of May this year is our... April 28th is our Arizona State Junior Olympic Clay Target Championships. We will be throwing bunker trap, skeet, and Olympic double trap. And we're the only club in the country that is throwing Olympic double trap for our youth competitors. And it's a good thing.
That's amazing. And you've got a big event coming up.
We have a huge event coming up. We have the one of two World Cup competitions this year. And we were in a competition, actually, worldwide to host this event. We were selected because of our program and because of our facilities and because of Tucson's weather. We have 5 Olympic bunkers. We have 14 Olympic skeet fields. We're the only club in the United States that can host this event.
That's great.
Now, does this qualify for the actual Olympics?
This is a team qualifier for the Olympics. Last year, the World Cup events were a quota slot qualifier.
Now, what does that mean?
Just like World Cup soccer, you have to win a quota slot at World Cups to go to the Olympics. And so you have to have competitors win the match before they win a slot for their country to compete in the Olympics.
So you've got Europeans here as well, or is this just all Americans?
We will, for the World Cup, we have 42 countries coming from everywhere.
That's fabulous. You guys are making a big economic impact on this community with this stuff.
We make a huge economic impact on this. Tucson Business Weekly did an article about 6 months ago, and with their math, they figured we bring in about $10 million a year to Tucson.
Now, is that with or without the special events?
That's without the special events. This World Cup's going to bring in probably well over 1,000 people. Each competitor, we have almost 300 competitors. Each competitor normally brings at least 2 ancillary people with them, whether they're coaches, trainers, family members, whatever. The thing to remember with all these competitors is 99% of them have never been to Tucson. And I hope Tucson puts on their best face for these people.
Oh, absolutely.
Because many of them are business people. Many of them are college students. I'm hoping the U of A gets at least a couple looks from some of these competitors. These competitors are all Class A people, or all Type A personality people. They're all very driven. They are very goal-orientated, and the type of people that the U of A would really like to have also.
So does U of A have a shooting program? Do they have a club at the U of A?
The U of A does have a club. It's called the Sonoran Shotgun Shooters. It's the first one in the Pac-12, and we have a very good coach, Mark McClure, who's been working with this group now for 2 years. And they, during the World Cup, they will be competing at the Collegiate National Championships in Dallas, Texas.
That's outstanding. So, a question for you. And I want to get back to the youth in this, in our conversation. A lot of folks that might want their kids to do this might have some concerns about safety. Tell us what you guys do as far as the safety goes with these 9 and 10-year-olds.
Okay, when we start out with our 9-year-olds, first off, they go through about 2 hours of safety training. What to do, how to do, when to do it. Then we take them out to the range, and we put a shotgun in their hands, but we don't give them any shells.
That's good.
I
do that to Jeff.
We actually load their guns for them, and as a coach, we stand behind them with our arms spread out behind them in case they want to move the gun someplace other than downrange. And it happens. I missed. Look at that. Or, you know, hey, my gun didn't go off.
Oh.
And so we have our hands in place to stop this shotgun from moving. And once they become fairly proficient, usually they're at least 10 years old before we ever even let them start loading their own shotgun or giving them shells to carry, safety is our number one priority. I firmly believe that an educated person with a firearm is not going to have an accident, or the chances of having an accident is very slim.
And we wholeheartedly agree with that.
So yeah. What's really funny is some of these 9- and 10-year-olds, after they go through the safety training, then they're instructing the adults on being safer than what they normally are.
Yeah, isn't that funny how we get real relaxed in our... My kids do that every once in a while with me when, you know, you jump in the car and boom, they put their seatbelt on immediately. They're like, Dad, you forgot your seatbelt. So I'm sure it works the same with you guys. That's great. So you've got all these folks coming to Tucson. When's this Olympic event again?
Okay, this World Cup match is March 23rd through April 1st. And like I said before, this is an Olympic team selection. Many countries will be choosing the winners of this match, will be chosen to compete on these 42 different countries' Olympic teams.
And is it open to the public?
And it is open to the public. We'd love to have
this. This is very interesting because essentially you're going to be seeing, this is a preliminary event to the Olympics, so you're going to be seeing the people who qualify through this event are going to be the people you're going to see at the Olympics.
We have over 30 people right now who are on Olympic teams that are in the top 10 of the country, top 10 of the world. And they will be here in Tucson competing. Right now we have, or just this last week, we have Kim Rohde out training at the club. Kim Rohde actually has 4 Olympic medals in 4 different Olympics. She's working on getting her 5th medal, something nobody has ever done.
That's fantastic.
So if you go out next weekend to Tucson Trap and Skeet Club, you're going to see, you don't have to go to London to go see these guys. You can see them right here in Tucson.
You're going to see the best in the world.
Give us the address.
The address is 7800 Old Ajo Highway. The phone number is 883-6426. And we do have 2 different websites, one for Tucson Trap and Skeet. That's TucsonTrapAndSkeet.org, or .com, excuse me. And then we have a World Cup website, which is TucsonWorldCup.com.
So are you guys hoping to have this event come back to Tucson many times over the next...
We're really hoping that we get it on a every other year basis. On the average, countries only get it about every 3 years. But with our infrastructure and everything that Tucson has, I think the world shooting population will
flock
enjoy
to town.
Flock to town.
That's fabulous.
All right, we have a little bit of housekeeping to do. Our friends at Mayfield Florists love giving away a dozen roses to one lucky listener, or one person who pays attention to the Fred and Jeff Show, one listener pays attention. So the question, Jeff, it'll be your turn this week to give the question.
Yeah, just give us one name of one of the new elephants at the zoo.
And there are 6 of them.
And there are 6, yeah. So send Fred an email that says...
Fred
at fredandjeff.com. Send him a name of one of the new elephants, and the first one to do that gets a dozen roses from Mayfield's Floors. Gentlemen, thank you very, very much. I mean, you guys are kind of a hidden gem. You really are, of what's going on here in Tucson. And it's guys like you that make Tucson a better place to live. So thanks a ton for what you do.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Lenny, thanks for the history. You guys do great work.
And Rob, thanks for taking care of our kids.
So, you bet.
All right, folks, have a great week. It's going to be a fabulous week out there in Tucson. And we'll see you next week here on the Fred and Jeff Show.